Yeah, here we go now, baby. Right back into the action for another day of the week. Welcome to the Wednesday edition of Before You Bet. Right now on the covered YouTube and X channels. If you're watching on YouTube right now, smash that subscribe button right down there. Hit the like button down there while you are at it. Ladies and gentlemen, what a time it is to be a sports bettor. Deep into the playoffs here. Well, not deep into the playoffs. Getting deep into the first rounds, I guess you could say, of the NBA and NHL playoffs. We got baseball every day. We got some afternoon games today. And, of course, we're hot on the heels coming up on the NFL draft tomorrow night. Can't wait. Still some beautiful betting options on the board. Going to be getting into a little bit of everything today. No hockey, but basketball, baseball, and NFL draft. If you guys want to participate in the show, it is very easy to do so. Hit up the live chat. I think it's going to be over here if you're watching on YouTube right now. If you're watching on X, I think it's right down there. Hit us up. Let us know what your locks of the day are. What is your bold prediction for the NFL draft? Are you betting on the hockey? We need some help with the NHL. Let us know what we should be betting on here tonight. No John Mettler today. But thankfully, we got a pretty good fill-in. Andrew Cayley, let's bring him in. Veteran here at Covers. He's been all over the NFL draft for us. His mock draft 4.0 went up, I think, yesterday over at covers.com. So we're going to be discussing that and a couple other topics. Cayley, how are you making out?
Doing really well. Really excited for the draft. We get to bet on some football, so that's always good.
Oh, I'm so excited for the draft. I can't wait. It's one of these things. I don't have a single bet in for the draft. It's one of these things I just like to sit back. I don't have to really have much of an opinion on. You know, I'm a Dolphins fan. I want them to take an offensive lineman, a born offensive lineman. I just want to see what's going to happen at the top. So we're going to get into all that. To start, though, let's recap a little bit about what we saw in the NBA there yesterday. Bounce backs by the Mavs and Pacers. I think the Mavs bouncing back was pretty predictable. They were very flat in game one, so that series all knotted up at once. Same with Pacers-Bucks. What really stood out to me last night, though, was the second half of the Phoenix Suns. They just absolutely laid down in Minnesota. They showed no grit whatsoever. They scored 42 points in the second half of that game. They were especially bad in the fourth quarter. I think Kevin Durant scored just 2 points in the fourth. And I got a bit of a hot take here about Kevin Durant. I want to get your opinion on it. So among elite, legendary players across all sports, I don't think anyone has mismanaged their career as badly as Kevin Durant has. And make no mistake about it, he is an absolute legend. He's probably, what, the top 20 NBA player of all time. And he tried to take the easy way out. He tried to take shortcuts to championships throughout his career. Obviously, it worked when he took the real easy way out and he joined the Golden State Warriors. He won a couple of championships. He gets heavily criticized for that. Then I think he had the wrong reaction to that criticism. He hitches his wagon to Kyrie Irving and joins the Brooklyn Nets. It's not like there was any red flags with Kyrie. He left the Cavaliers and Celtics in disgrace. How did that work out? He tries to redo the big three thing with they bring James Harden in. They won one playoff series. Then once again, things weren't going his way. So what did he want to do? Was he going to stick it out? Honor his contract? No, he took the easy way out again and he gets traded to the Phoenix Suns. And it doesn't look like it's going to work out here for Phoenix. They're down two games in this series to the much better defensive team. And I think they're going to be out of moves. You know, Bradley Beal, that's not a great contract. They're obviously paying Booker a bunch of money, as they should. But I think he kind of tried to follow in the footsteps of LeBron a little bit. Like, he saw LeBron go to Miami and they formed that big three. So on the heels of that, he does the thing in Golden State. He gets criticized for that. And he keeps trying to do this big three thing. And it's not working out. So absolutely, one of the best offensive players in the history of the NBA. But it's been backfire after backfire after backfire for him since he left OKC, where the best years of his career probably were. Of course, he won the MVP there. And he's going to be 36 years old entering next season. It seems like he's getting injured all the time. So he's probably not going to win another championship. So What do you think of that? Among legendary athletes, no one has mismanaged their career as badly as Kevin Durant. Now, you can point to some baseball players and the steroid stuff, Barry Bonds and Roger Clemens. That's a little different. But what do you think of that take?
It's a pretty hot take. I think you're right, though, for the most part. Him going, he was never going to win. The second he left Oklahoma City, he was never going to win with the fans or the critics or anyone. Win popular opinion, I mean, when I say win. Obviously, he won a couple of championships. Joining a 73-win team, like you said, is not the most difficult thing to do. And they were dominant, and they did that. But he was getting criticized for that as well because, hey, if you didn't win, that would be the more shocking thing in that scenario. So I don't know. He needs to, he's been trying to figure it out. Like you said, he hasn't found the right fit. Like you said, I don't think it's going to be in Phoenix. I don't know what the move is for Phoenix at this point. They've given up a lot of assets to get KD, to get Bradley Beal. They're paying guys a lot of money there. Like, I don't know. Is he just going to have to force his way out of Phoenix and go somewhere else at this point? Because, like you said, like, they not only has he mismanaged his career at this point, but Phoenix has mismanaged their assets, and it's a tough spot.
Yeah, I saw the guys on Part of My Take were saying that all signs point to him going back to Oklahoma City Thunder. And it kind of makes sense because they have a million first-round draft picks. They can't roster all these first-round picks, and maybe the Phoenix Suns end up in a situation like the Brooklyn Nets where it's like, okay, we just have to tear this all down and start over again. You know what I mean? They tried to go all in and it didn't work out. And hey, who knows? Maybe we're here in a week and the Suns are up 3-2 in that series. So maybe I'm getting ahead of myself a little bit. I doubt that's going to happen. But yeah, I like Durant. Fantastic career. But he's made too many moves. Sometimes you just got to stick it out, right? Because a lot of these teams, who are the top two teams? The Celtics and the Nets. Continuity, building through the draft, you know, kind of gutting it out, some tough times together, getting to the point where you are the definitive best teams in the NBA. So, yeah, we'll see how that shakes out, but it does not look good for the Phoenix Suns. Now, all that said, I'm probably going to be looking to take the over on Durant's point total in game three of that series. So time will tell. I don't even know what the number is yet. I'm guessing it's going to be around 23.5, but I think he will bounce back and have a good game at home in game three. Okay, enough small talk. Two NBA games tonight, a bunch of baseball. I have like 6 or 7 total picks here for across the NBA and Major League Baseball. So I'm going to rip through all these. Then we're going to get right into the NFL draft stuff. Let's start with the Celtics Heat game. I like Bam Adebayo to score over 18.5 points, coming in at -102. So he's had a lot of success against Boston. He's scored 19 or more in 7 straight. Oh, one second. You guys ever have the come back to me on the camera there for a minute, Mick? The most annoying thing. You guys ever go on ESPN and you're just looking up stats and you leave the window open and then out of nowhere an ad comes on blaring through your earphones? That's what happened to me right now, but we will recover and we'll get right back into the picks here. So Bam, over 18.5 points. He scored 19 or more in 7 straight regular season games against them. Of course, he had 24 points in game one. The Celtics seem very content with letting him get shots off. 18 shots in game one. Other games this season, he had 18 shots in one game, 23 in another. That's pretty notable because he only averaged 14.3 shots per game during the regular season. So a bit of a pattern developing here where the Celtics are going to let Bam get his and maybe make the other Heat players beat him. And, you know, this is the obvious one here. Miami's running out of scoring options. No Jimmy Butler, obviously. Tyler Hero's been letting them down. He has topped this number in 12 of the last 14 games without Jimmy Butler in the lineup. He did average 22.1 regular season points without Butler this season. Next up, game number 2 tonight, we have the Pelicans and the Thunder. I like Jonas Valanciunas over 12.5 points, -118. That is at FanDuel. And that's important. How often do we say shop around? Because the number is 13.5 over at DraftKings. So get the best of the number over at FanDuel. -118. So lots of big games for Jonas Valanciunas without Zion in the lineup. I've been on this one a couple times over the past week. 14 or more points in 7 of the last 8 games without Zion. He averaged 17 points per game in 12 regular season games that Zion missed. Easy buckets for him in game 1. 11 of his 13 points came in the paint and at the free throw line. And pretty good success scoring against the Thunder here. 13 or more points in 5 of his last 6 games against them. Okay, those are my two bets for the NBA. Let's get into Major League Baseball. And it is the bet type that is taking the betting world by storm. Everyone is absolutely buzzing about the walk parlay, the plus money walk parlay. 2-1 on these this season. Hit one yesterday. If you were following my picks over on Twitter/X. So today we're going to pair Kyle Gibson. He's pitching this afternoon. And Carlos Carrasco, both to have at least 2 walks plus 149 on this one. 10 walks and 4 starts for Kyle Gibson, including 7 in his last 2 starts. He's facing the D-backs today, who are 2nd in walk percentage versus right-handed pitching. Carlos Carrasco, meanwhile, his command's been awful. 11 walks in his last 3 starts. He has the 6th highest walk percentage for starters who have at least 3 starts this season. And the Red Sox, they have the 8th highest walk percentage on the season. So we're going to pair both of those guys to have at least 2 walks, a little bit of plus money. Next up, we are fading Blake Snell, or should I say Blake Smell. 2 separate bets to fade him here. We're going to take under 17.5 outs recorded, minus 130, and under 6.5 strikeouts. Now, you might think, Joe, why wouldn't you parlay those? Well, most sports books do not allow you to parlay bets for the same pitcher. So 2 singles here. Blake Smell is in absolutely horrific form right now. Of course, he got off to a late start as he wasn't signed by the Giants until fairly deep into spring training. He's got an 11.57 ERA with a 1.97 whip. That's in 3 starts. He still hasn't reached 5 innings pitched. And he doesn't have more than 5 strikeouts. And to bring it all together, pretty good numbers and a low strikeout percentage for the Mets versus left-handed pitching. They are 7th in OPS versus lefties with the lowest strikeout percentage versus left-handed pitching this season. So we are fading Blake Snell. Going to run that one right into the ground. Okay, next up, one of my favorites. Another walk bet. We're going to take Tyler Anderson over 1.5 walks. An amazing number here, minus 130 on this one. So why is that an amazing number? Well, this is usually heavily juiced, minus 170 or over, or the walk number is usually set at 2.5. This was the case in his last start against the Reds, which he went over. He had 3 walks against them last time out. And why do I like this Anderson over a 1.5 walks bet? Why do I bet it often? It's because he's had 2 in a row walks in 25 of his last 29 appearances. So what gives? Why are we getting this decent number here, minus 130? Well, the Orioles don't really walk a lot in general. One of the lowest walk percentages in baseball this season. This bet is, however, much more about Anderson than it is the Orioles. And for what it's worth, small sample size, but the O's have drawn 5 walks versus Angels starters in 2 games in this series so far. So, yeah, hopefully they can show some discipline, keep the bat on the shoulder, and get some walks against him. 2 more to go here. Jack Flaherty over 17.5 outs recorded. That is minus 115. So he's reached 18 outs in all 4 of his starts. The Tigers do seem happy to let him work through trouble here as well. Some early inning trouble a few times out so far this season, but they haven't really been in a rush to yank him. Obviously, they're not afraid to let him get into a deep pitch count. And to bring this one all together, the Rays are really struggling versus right-handed pitching right now, 27th in OPS over the last 2 weeks. And we're going to wrap things up with Ronaldo Lopez of the Atlanta Braves, over 15.5 outs recorded, minus 125 on this one. So he's reached 18 outs in all 3 of his starts here this season. He's looking like the real deal too, looking great here for the Braves. 1 earned run allowed across 3 starts, a whip, a .94. He impressively shut out the Astros in Houston over 6 innings last time out. And a lot of this one's about the opponent too. Miami stinks versus right-handed pitching, 25th in OPS versus righties, and dead last in OPS on the road. So there you have it. An absolute avalanche of props for tonight. We got through it. Okay, Kaylee. The event of the month, I think it's fair to say that, the NFL draft tomorrow. I cannot wait. Your mock draft 4.0 is up. What stands out in this version?
So before we get into that, this is super unique betting experience every single year. It's unlike any other betting event on the calendar because most of the odds are based on hearsay and rumors, and the limits aren't that big on most of these bets, so they can move for anything. This time last year, Will Levis was like minus 2,000 to be the second overall pick, and everyone had him going to the Texans, and all because of a Reddit post, basically, and we just saw him sitting there all night until he got drafted the very next day. So it's a really, really tough market because there's so much noise, but if you cut through that and you kind of block things out, I think there's some value to be found. And so mock draft 4.0, you know that meme, Charlie Day, or that GIF where he's like on the board and he's got these little lines here. And that was me doing this one because after Caleb Williams, we really don't know a whole lot. And I submitted it and then I'm like, oh my goodness, I wish I could have changed five different things already. But the big thing in this version is I have J.J. McCarthy going number 3 overall to the New England Patriots. And it's come out that they've kind of said that they like him there. They're happy to take a quarterback in this spot. But I think I still have Drake May going to number 2 at the Commanders. And that's because of my process where I watch a lot of college football. And I've seen Drake May be the better potential pro quarterback than Jaden Daniels, despite winning the Heisman Trophy. I say that because May has the better pro-ready arm, and he's an underrated athlete, where Daniels had some great numbers, and he has some great deep touch on throws, but when he has to step up into the pocket and make some of the tougher throws, he holds on to the ball too long sometimes, and he doesn't have that same strength that the other top three guys do have in this draft class. And I don't know, McCarthy just feels a little bit like a Patriot, you know, the Patriot way, and all the, he has the intangibles, and Jim Harbaugh obviously talked him all up, all this draft process. So that would be the biggest shocker, I guess, from my my latest mock. I do have Daniels going at 4. The Vikings are the big trade up candidate, obviously, for that. For a quarterback position, they are minus 250 to select a quarterback with their first pick. It'll be really interesting to see how it all shakes out. If it is Daniels at 2, which is what all the big reporters are saying right now, that the Commanders are leaning towards, or Daniels at number 2, then I think the Patriots will take Drake May at 3. But the draft obviously starts at number 2. And it's just a crazy, crazy time right now. I probably have too many bets right now for this draft, but I think we can find some value on a bunch of them.
Yeah, so what I'll say about the Patriots, I said this to producer Mick before we went to air. He is a Patriots fan, so I'm going to mock him any chance I get, as any other person should do, given their dominance over the past couple of decades here. But you know, it came out that, yeah, they're going to take calls on the third overall pick. I think almost in spite of Bill Belichick that they have to stand pat here and pick a quarterback and not trade back, because that was the old Patriot way under Bill Belichick. You trade back, right? So, and they absolutely, who's currently number one quarterback on their depth chart right now? Is it Bailey Zappi right now, or are they going to bring Brian Hoyer back? And I don't think that there's really a lot of guys available anymore. Where, Jacoby Brissett? I don't know. But
yes, they do have Brissett on the roster right now.
There we go, Brissett. You want to go into the season with him number one on your depth chart? I don't think so. And what I'll say about McCarthy, it almost seems like there's like a marketing campaign for a different quarterback each year. It was Will Levis, obviously, last year. I think it was probably Kenny Pickett.
It was Kenny Pickett and before, yeah.
Yeah, and I think McCarthy is the guy who is the marketing campaign this year, and you got to wonder if somebody's going to bite. It's really starting to look like that. You know, he just
if I was the Patriots, I'd rather take Marvin Harrison Jr. at number three. I think he's a generational talent. I bet that really early on in the process. But you take Marvin Harrison Jr. and then I don't know if you trade back into the first, but you grab a Bo Nix or you grab a Michael Penix Jr. at early in the second round, and that's what you do. I think that would be a much better strategy for them at this point. Because for me, I still think it's Caleb Williams and Drake May. Just from what I've seen, they're in the tier above everybody else, and then there's a bit of a drop down for the next guys. So they are in a tough spot because like poor producer Mick said, they need a quarterback, and if you pass on one, it's going to be a bad look.
Yeah, but I like that though. If they get Harrison, and I don't like that as a Dolphins fan. If they get Harrison and Penix Jr. as a Dolphins fan, I do like it if they take McCarthy. But yeah, and I've said this before, and I'm going to backtrack. They need to pick a quarterback is what people say. Not that they don't like any of these guys. No, they do not. You know, so who knows? These guys know a lot more than we do on our couches, sitting at home and reading stuff on the internet, right? So, yeah, so maybe they don't have to. So, yeah, we'll see what they like. But, yeah, that's going to be very interesting to see. Okay, so let's get into – you gave us a bunch of bets last week. Let's get into a few more here on the doorstep of the draft. So defensive linemen, edge players drafted in round one. We have the number set at 6.5, and you like the over. Tell us why.
Over, which you can get at about plus 200 right now. So obviously, outside of quarterback, the premium positions in the NFL draft are always offensive linemen and edge rushers. And this class, when it comes to edge rushers and defensive linemen, are pretty top heavy. So those guys are going to go in the first round, and then there's going to be a bit of a gap. We've got four guys who I think are a lock right now. That's Dallas Turner, Latu, Jared Verse, and defensive tackle Byron Murphy II, who is getting a lot of steam right now to be the top defensive player taken. FanDuel now has him as the favorite to be the pick at number 9, which is currently held by the Bears. So all those guys are locks. Then we've got two guys, Chop Robinson and Darius Robinson out of Penn State and Missouri. They're not quite locks to go in the first, but they're pretty close. Darius Robinson in particular had a great pro day, and he's getting a lot of hype and steam as the draft gets closer and closer. I really like him. I think he's almost certainly going. So that means we just need one more guy, and there's Johnny Newton out of Illinois. He's a great defensive tackle who, when this draft process started, he was going in everyone's mock draft. He's kind of a bit like an Aaron Donald light. He's a little undersized defensive tackle, but he has this great knack for collapsing pockets. And now he's -2. He's bounced back, worked out well. There were some injury issues with him, but he's worked out well. And now he's minus 290 to go in the first round. So that's number 7. And then there's always, like, when you get to that point in the draft, your guys, especially for the last 5, maybe 6 picks, your guys you had at the top of the board probably gone. So then maybe you pull a guy that is high on your board, but maybe not on everybody else's board. And you're usually pulling from those premium positions like tackles and edge rushers. So maybe a guy like Braylon Trice out of Washington sort of thing, it gets is a sneaky pick in the first round. So I think there's a lot of value there at plus 200. I really, really like this play.
Okay, we just crossed over 1,000 live viewers right now across YouTube. Woo! And X, most people on X. Guys, hit up the live chat. Let us know what you're thinking for the NFL draft. You got any bold takes? What are the Patriots going to do? Let us know what you like in the NBA and Major League Baseball. Let us know where you're watching from as well. We are an international sports betting program.
I love Nick's take here in the chat. Latham at number 5 overall. That's getting some steam right now. Joe Alt has been the guy as the first offensive tackle, like all process. But there's like videos coming out or photos coming out of the Chargers talking a lot to Latham. Latham is a natural right tackle. The Chargers already have Rashawn Slater at left tackle. Latham's also a beast, like a great prospect. And so this is I think you can get that bet right now at number 5 overall at 19-1. I still think the Chargers maybe take Harrison Jr. if the quarterbacks do go 1, 2, 3, 4. I think all this noise where it's like, oh, Jim Harbaugh can't take a Buckeye with his first pick. Like, I think that's, once again, just noise. Like, he knows Marvin Harrison Jr. is like a generational talent. He saw it at Michigan. He almost single-handedly beat him in the last two Big Ten title games, or not big games. They never play in the Big Ten title game because they're in the same division. But really, really interesting play there from Nick in the chat there. I love that. Latham at fifth overall. That's the better play. The first offensive lineman is plus 1,400, but I think that's the spot at five overall. Love that.
Yeah, I think the Chargers appear to be playing the slow game a little bit. Obviously, they haven't made like a big splash, except for bringing Harbaugh in, obviously. But in terms of the roster construction under him, they're playing the slow game a little bit. And maybe the goal would be, hey, let's build up this offensive line, and then we'll get in on some skill guys later on. Okay, pick number two from you for the draft. Position of Jets first player drafted. No, no matter who it is, their career is going to be doomed right off the bat, because that's how it works when you sign up to play for the New York Jets, or not sign up to play for them, but get drafted by them. But what position do you think the Jets will be drafting first year?
I'm saying wide receiver at this value, plus 380. Jets are in win now mode. Joe Douglas has no time to wait when it comes to his future assets. He will not be there if the Jets don't make a strong run this season. They've made some big moves, and they've completely rebuilt that offensive line to protect Aaron Rodgers. This tiny, tiny little Aaron Rodgers window we have for their competitive window here. They signed Tyron Smith, former Dallas Cowboys great, traded for Moses from the Ravens. They signed a couple other guards. Like, they have spent a lot of their time this offseason rebuilding that offensive line, and you're telling me that they're going to take another tackle at number 10 overall? I have a really hard time seeing it. I know there's a lot of sharp money out there on the Jets to take a tackle with this first pick, and that is the favorite at about plus 105 right now. But like I said, I just don't see it happening. Brock Bowers is getting mocked to them at 10. And while I like Brock Bowers a lot, I just don't think he can have the same impact as one of these top three receivers. Like, they are, all three of them would be the number one wide receiver taken in like the last handful of NFL drafts. Like, that's how good they all are. So there's a spot. I can really see them trading up with the Falcons to 8 to leapfrog the Bears there, because I know Odunze's been mocked to the Bears a lot, like pair Caleb Williams with one of these receivers here. Yeah. It wouldn't cost you too much to just drop the Falcons two spots there. Falcons are probably looking at a defensive player anyway, and can take the guy that they would probably take at 8 and get him at 10 no matter what. So you pick up a pick somewhere, like maybe a third-round pick, and then the Jets are in a position to take a guy like Odunze or Neighbors if he drops a little bit. It just makes too much sense for a team that's all in right now to go get a guy like Odunze or Neighbors. And while they did sign Mike Williams too, like, that guy is a walking band-aid, a walking questionable mark. If you've ever had him on your fantasy team, you're just sitting there every single week being like, oh my goodness, is this guy a good play or not? So pairing one of these guys with Garrett Wilson, giving Aaron Rodgers another elite weapon like this, it just makes too much sense to me. And I think at plus 380, that's a really good value.
Yeah, I like to make fun of the Jets, but you are right. It is all in. It is now or never. They've bent over so much for Aaron Rodgers. You got to keep bending over for the guy, even though he's taken, what, 4 snaps for them. I think it's going to backfire. I won't get into this too much, but their win total is like 9.5. And it's like minus 120 for them not to make the playoffs. Are you kidding me? It's okay. I'll say that for maybe next week. We'll have a rant on that. Okay. I like this one. And I think it's a good bet. The amount of quarterbacks drafted in the first round, number set at 4.5. And you like the under. Of course, under. You're going to be picking. Yeah, you like the under on the 4.5. Michael Penix, Bo Nix, you know, it's going to come down to if any teams like those two guys, I guess, right?
Oh, yeah, those are the guys. Obviously, we've talked about a lot. There's a potential that four quarterbacks go in the first four picks or five picks sort of thing. So that's why I kind of think that we are getting some value on this play, because then everybody is assuming that these QB needy teams like Oakland, like Denver, maybe even the Saints, will select one of these guys early. Like, I've seen mocks with Bo Nix going at 12 to the Broncos, and that's just like, that would be such a mistake. I think he's Zach Wilson 2.0, to be honest. Like, he had some great years at Oregon, but I just remember this guy who was a disaster at Auburn, who had problems with his mechanics, who couldn't just make the throws when they were needed to be made a lot of mental errors. Like, I think he had a really great fit at Oregon, and he obviously had some great years there, but I would not be investing a first round pick in this guy. Penix is the guy that worries me a little bit because he is such a natural thrower. He has some injury history, but I think that's what bumps him down. This number has gone under 6 of the last 7 years. It always goes under. It's the same thing every single year. We want to talk about quarterbacks when we get into, like, coming on the show. What do we talk about? We talk about quarterbacks right off the top because everybody wants to talk about quarterbacks because the casual fan knows the quarterbacks. They don't know Olufoshano should be maybe the top offensive lineman taken this year from Penn State because he's a beast. They just want to talk about quarterbacks, and this is being juiced way too much. I can't believe we're getting plus money on this prop this year. I expect them to both go in the second round, Nix and Penix, that is. And this is looking like tremendous value right now.
Yeah, that's a good number. Penix, you know, he's got that high ceiling, but, you know, he might be damaged goods coming into the league. I know he finished strong there in his college career, but that injury history, athletes don't tend to get healthier with age. You know what I mean? That's what I always say about these big guys in the NBA, Zion and Joel Embiid, for example. Robert Bruce weighing in the chat. He likes the Celtics tonight. I hope you're talking spread. If you want to take the Celtics on the money line tonight, you can get them at minus 1,400. You might want to find a few things to parlay that with. But yeah, Celtics minus 14.5 on the spread. I would actually lean that way. They destroyed Miami in that game, in game one. I think they're going to try to make light work of the Heat, keep their foot on the gas so they can have a decent rest here ahead of round two. Winding right down here, guys, just to recap my picks. If you're just tuning in, I like Bam to go over his point total of 18.5. I like Jonas Valanciunas to go over 12.5 points over to Major League Baseball. Walk parlay, Kyle Gibson and Carlos Carrasco, both over 1.5 walks, plus 149 on that one. I am fading Blake Snell, under 17.5 outs recorded at minus 130 and under 6.5 strikeouts for him. He's taking on the Mets this afternoon in San Francisco. Tyler Anderson over 1.5 walks, minus 130. He's had 2 or more walks in 25 of his last 29 appearances. I love that one. And then a couple boring bets here, but these have been cashed for me, these outs recorded bets. Jack Flaherty over 17.5 outs recorded at minus 115, and Reynaldo Lopez over 15.5 outs recorded, minus 125. You just heard Kaylee gave out his 3 additional picks for the NFL draft, but you got a bunch of other content up at coverage.com. Tell the people about it.
We've got MLB props today. I like Teoscar Hernandez to get an RBI at plus 165. Shockingly leads the Dodgers and runs batted in. I guess that's what happens when you get hit behind Betts, Ohtani, and Freeman all the time. Lots of draft content. I just posted my best bets, which includes these, a few others. Markets that I like to look at are guys who will be first round picks that are around even money. So a Ladd McConkey, I think, could go near the end of the first round. Xavier Legette, like, he could go there as well. Also position player over unders. Cooper DeJean under 22.5 looks like a solid one. We talked about JC Latham. I like him under 13.5 at this point. You can get that at even money. So I'll have a ton of draft betting content. These odds are always fluid, leading right up until the first pick, basically. So follow us, follow Covers. Like, I'll be tweeting all draft long, all leading up to the draft, and it's just a really exciting, fun time for betting.
Okay, we'll end with this comment from Patrick McWhorter. Bo Nix throws less down the field per attempt than Tua. Now, I'm thinking that's a shot at Tua. I can't avoid it. Doesn't matter where I go. I'm like, I'm sick of defending the guy. I think he's good. I don't think he's awesome. I don't think he sucks. Very accurate, though. He's more accurate on those deep balls than people think, too. Okay, we'll leave it at that. Yeah, make sure you follow both of us. We're going to be with you guys throughout the NFL draft and leading up to it. One of the funnest sports events of the year on social media, too. So it should be an absolute blast. I cannot wait. Thank you guys very much for watching today. Thank you to Andrew for joining us. Best of luck with all your bets, and we'll catch you guys again on Friday.